It's a joy to me that the whole family is wholeheartedly in the endeavor. Before I shared it with the girls, and I had been sensing God leading this direction of starting a church there, but I was slow and reluctant to say something I wasn't going to follow through on. But at a certain point, I talked it over one last time with my wife, and I said, well, before I share it with the girls, we've got to look over this one last time, because if we press on with this, there's no turning back. And my wife's been 100% behind every faith venture we have ever taken. That makes all the difference in the world. And my children have been too. Sometimes in these last days, I'll say to my girls, I say, isn't it exciting to see miracles taking place? God is always working miracles. Always. It's just we don't always notice. I'm spiritually blind to so many of the miracles he's doing. But I'm grateful for the ones he helps me to see. An angel came and told Mary she's going to bear the Christ child. Luke chapter 1. She said, how can these things be, since I know not a man? And the angel said it would be the Holy Spirit that would bring this about in her. And I won't read all these scriptures, but in Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. I had some great encouragements along this line. When I was in high school, Pastor Jack Taylor came to our church, was our youth man, and he took some... I had been saved, but I wasn't growing very fast. And in fact, I think I was tatering towards backsliding in my heart, you know, becoming more and more apathetic. And he kept challenging us. And he wanted to take teenagers to mission fields and wake us up to a world larger than ourselves, so that maybe we could come back to our hometown and our high schools and wake up and see they're a mission field too. Sometimes you got to do that. Take somebody somewhere else to wake them up. And so anyway, he wanted to take us to Canada for the first one. And he evidently sold Pastor Huffhand on it. He evidently budged the deacons on it. And because I never heard my dad say anything about it. And so he was keeping things like he was supposed to. And in his own mind until they were broadcast at the right time. So... there was a big meeting. It was in January. The trip's going to take place in the summer. And so at the big meeting, he tells all the church what's the mission trip is going to be. Now, Pastor Jack Taylor was a man who could plan a venture, not only set big goals, but how it's going to be accomplished. And you never had to worry about any minutia detail being overlooked with him. And but anyway, there were some worried parents, you know, when they heard the vision. And it was a great accomplishment he was seeking to accomplish there. But you're not taking my teens and some old, there, he didn't know it. But our church had had a van once, and they had a bad experience with it, okay? So anyway, our church wasn't excited about owning a van or owning a bus or anything like that. And but anyway, he could sense some opposition. And well, he heard things like, well, nobody's going to take my kid to Canada in some old used bus, you know? And so anyway, not that we had one, but there was this obstacle. Well, he kept preaching to us teenagers, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And I saw on the trip would take place in the summer, but in May, I saw the youth leader drive up in a brand new school bus. I didn't know what all was going on behind the scenes. I knew our church was on the tight side financially. Later, I became the youth pastor, and I got the same pay he got. I knew our church was kind of close on money. Not that they didn't have money, but that's the way they were, okay? And they weren't going to go out and buy a bus. And so he had a dream. He believed in what God wanted to accomplish in teenagers like myself and my wife. And what it would take. And he had a vision. He expected great things from God and for God. And God honored his faith. And when I saw a brand new bus driving up there in front of our church on a Sunday morning, he said, it's all paid for. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. It began to kind of wake me up a little bit. We went to Canada. The next year, we went out west. And there were, because of that ministry, that soul winning ministry, we had, when I graduated, there were 19 seniors that graduated. 18 of them went to Bible college. Because their hearts had been stirred. There had been soul winning activity going on in three public high schools around our church area. Because with God, nothing shall be impossible. Sometimes we work on what God calls us to do, and we run up against some things and some big walls, and we don't know how is this going to work out. And But God's got it all figured out. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. And sometimes God has to kind of push me into an area where I say, hey, whoa, there's no way out of this but God. And for example, I shared this with your pastor once. We had just taken the girls to school. I was in Paris, Illinois. And they were going to Heritage Baptist University. And we had just signed them up for the new school term there. And excuse me a minute. Get it over with. So the car quit. The van quit. Rob Holderman, he was one of the students there, and he'd helped me with my van various times, and I had bought this van for $500. I remember when I called up Brother Tillman and told him, you know, I got this van, it was only $500, I think I got a good deal. I told him what year it was and everything and the miles and so on, and he said, $500, and he heard the facts, and of course he was a master salesman of vans, and he knew all kind of vans and everything. He said, if it lasts 3 months, you got your money's worth. I'll never forget that, because it lasted five. And so I got my money's worth.
And when that van quit on the way home, we had just gone on I-70, we're going in across the line into Illinois, and I was getting ready to pass a guy, and the last time Rob fixed it, he said, "This is it, Elmer. If it quits after this, there's nothing I can do." All right. So, and I was passing this van, and then it quit. It did. It just quit. And I already knew, Rob knew all about these things. This was it. And I kept losing momentum there, and the car I was passing, I just kind of waved as he went on. So I went off to the side, and we're walking towards the rest area, which is just up about a half mile. So as I was walking, this is one of those areas where, all right, I tried everything I could to keep this thing going, and it's dead and done with. All right, this is beyond my ability. You know, I can't think of another thing I can do for this van. So I knew, all right, God, this is time for you to do something, because I'm out. I can't think of another thing I can do. And I said, God, we've just got to have a van. So my wife and I are walking side by side. The girls are walking behind us, and we're walking toward this rest area. I felt this increased feeling of joy coming to my heart and mind, because it was too big for me. It was beyond my ability to take care of. I knew I didn't have the money to buy another one. I knew I couldn't fix it. I'd done all I could to keep it on the road, you know, through Rob's help. It's beyond me. It's a time like this that God likes to stretch my faith. And it's at times like this that joy crops up, because I know God's about to do something big. All right. As I was walking down, and I had shared my request with God to provide another van, I told my wife, I said, "Honey, I'm praying to the Lord, asking Him for another van." She said, "Well, while you're at it, ask Him if we could have it by Thursday." And this was Wednesday. And so I was praying as we were walking down towards the rest area, and I said, "Well, Lord, you heard that," and I'm not always keen on the calendar thing, but she knows some things I don't and that I'm not thinking about. And so while you're working miracles, Lord, would you provide one by Thursday, please? And then I shared with girls what I was praying for, and so they threw in a request. You see, that old van was okay as long as you didn't look up. This, you know, all vans have nice ceilings, except that blue van. It was good to look as long as you didn't look up. The stuffings was gone out of it, you know. It was just an ugly, rusty-looking ceiling, you know. So they said something about ask if God would provide the next one with a nice ceiling in it. So I thought that was a reasonable request, you know. I mean, if God can provide it by Thursday, I'm sure the ceiling's a problem. So I prayed about that. And then we were walking in, and I escorted them to the area where the restrooms are. And then there was this guy over there where a lot of people were parked and things, you know, or resting. He was in this big diesel truck. It was a pickup truck, but it was diesel. A very expensive vehicle. So he looked like Hell's Angels. You know, I would associate him with a motorcycle, not this big, expensive, nice-looking truck. He looked like Hell's Angel. He had tattoos all over him and a Viking haircut and everything, you know, long hair and all. Jacket, you know, all that was missing was a motorcycle. He was hollering at me. grinning real big and working around his truck. And I thought, wow, what this is, you know. So I said, well, I'll be back. You know, y'all go ahead and take care of things here, and I'll go see what this guy wants. And so the way he was looking and smiling and hollering, you'd have thought he knew me, but I never saw him before in my life. And but I'm going over there, and it's daylight, so there shouldn't be any danger here. There's other people around. And so I'm going over, and I said, yeah, what can I do for you? And he said, saw you and your family walking as I drove into the rest area here. I just cleaning out my truck and all. I'll give you a ride anywhere you want to go in a 100-mile radius. Now, that's pretty good, except for the looks of the guy that was wanting to give us a ride to Hope, where I wanted to go. And I mean, at first, to look at the outside of this man, I wouldn't trust him with my wife and kids. And so since this was maybe a divine appointment, I looked him eyeball to eyeball. And what I saw in his eyes was different than what I saw on the exterior. And I said, okay, how about Paris? It's only 17 miles away. And he said, all right, no problem. And so we got in, and it was roomy. There was plenty of space for them to sit in the back seat of this pickup truck. And I was sitting up in the front, and I saw a Bible on his dash. And so I said, hey, that's a good book you got there on your dash. And he said, yeah. He said, I've only been saved a year now. And I said, well, amen, praise the Lord. That's what I saw in his eyes, a genuine believer. And I never run into anything like this before, and but anyway, he took me to where we were going, and he said, I saw your girls, and they were dressed like my girls, only my girls are little now, and he showed me a picture of them. Sure enough, he dressed them just like my girls, and you'd never know by the way he was dressed. He had any taste like that for his own kids, you know, but nevertheless. And his wife dressed like my wife, you know, and he said, if that was my wife and girls, you know, walking, I would want them to have a ride. And so God provided the ride. And I was going to call my assistant, but this guy hollered first. I mean, my assistant was just 17 miles away. It was Paul. And he had a car at work. And so anyway, So when he dropped us off, I called Paul, and we went over to Iron Wheels to get another van. That's where I got my $500 one. And so when I went into Iron Wheels, and I sit down with, there's two old guys that own it, and they, one of them was there at the time smoking a cigar, and I said, say, I really like that last van I got here. And it was just $500. Remember that blue one? And I told him what year it was and making things. And he said, well, I kind of remember that. And I said, it was just $500. I said, it was a good one. And was? And I said, yeah, it died finally. And you're wanting another one? And I said, yeah, Mr. Tillman in Indianapolis said if it lasted 3 months, I got my money's worth. It lasted five. Got any more of those? And he said, not that I had $500, but I had eight. And I said, got any more of those? He said, no, we ain't got any more of those on the lot. And he got to thinking, I think I got something here you might like. And so he had me take this van out for a drive, and Paul and I did. And when I got back, and it was good. I even took it over to a friend who had the Goodyear tire service, and his mechanic looked it over, and he said, I think a mechanic owned this one. And so he said, this is a good one. He told me all that was wrong is going to need the shocks replaced in the back, and there's a oil gasket that's going to need to be replaced if you're
picky about how much, you know, it's not a bad leak, but it does leak a little around the oil gasket. But he said, man, the way them bolts are put on there on them wheels, and he told me all kind of other things. The mechanic has had this thing. As it turned out, I found out later, his wife had it. And the mechanic's wife, another one, and he had to take care of it for his wife, and that's the reason it was so taken care of. Well, anyway, it was a good van. And I got back, and I said, well, how much is it going to be? And the owner said, the car lot dealer said, well, he said, everything included, he said, $2,008. And I said, well, okay, I'll be talking to you tomorrow, okay? And so I said to Paul, as we were headed towards the church, I said, well, I've got the $8 if God could kick in $2,000. We got her made. And so anyway, we were headed to the church, and as soon as I got out of the van, one of my deacons come running up to me and said, hey, somebody's on the phone wanting to talk to you. So now, we were a small church. We just run about 20-some people, you know. And this is Wednesday night. And so I get on the phone, and it's a lady who attends our church. She was a member. Her husband attended some, but he wasn't a member. And she said, my husband and I have been talking, and we feel like you ought to have a new van. And I said, yeah. And she said, so we want to donate $2,000 so you can get another van. I said, amen. Praise the Lord. That's just right. And so Thursday, the next day, we went and bought a van. $2,000 plus $8 that I had. Amen. Hallelujah. Our God can really come through. And but he's like that. He's like that. Oh, it was great. It was. Yeah, they can testify. God answered their prayer. We got it on Thursday and had a beautiful roof. You can enjoy the look inside and out of that van. Yep. Even underneath because of that mechanic. I mean, it was great. And but God just keeps answering prayer. God has used vans as a way, our transportation as a way to keep reminding us that he is at work in our lives. He might use your health. He might use something else. But he keeps using vans in our lives. And I remember when I had just got a good van. One after this. This van, I kept it going until there's 14 things wrong with it, and it would take $1,400 to fix it all. And finally, up in Minnesota, we just, when you can't get in your door because the locks are frozen and everything, and it got to be impossible. And so anyway, we had worn that thing out, and so it was time to get another van. And God provided another van. And I can't remember how he provided that white one now, but God provided that white one. So that's the thing I remember. When I went to pick you up in, from camp, yeah. I remember I called it Iron Wheels again down in Illinois, even though I'm up in Minnesota, because I looked on the internet. And they want too much for vans up there in Minnesota. And so I called down at Iron Wheels. Sure enough, one owner vehicle. They had one. It was just for about $3,000, $3,600, I think it was. It was a really nice one. And only had 106,000 miles on it. And so anyway, I remember God kept supplying our need. And wasn't our church helping us out? It was only after it was nearly paid for that one of the folk in the church donated 100. They thought somebody from our church, where I was the pastor, ought to kick in a little, you know. And so that's all. The last 300 came when I came to pick up the van. And I had to pick up Charity. She was working at Camp Assurance. And I had to speak at a church here in Indiana, not too far, it was Illinois. Yeah, Illinois. And wasn't too far away. And so anyway, I took a train down to Illinois here, and a friend took me to the camp to pick her up, and then took us to Iron Wheels.
And I was able to pay for the van, $3,600. And so God provided.
Well, while I was in Minnesota, and I only had this van for about 6 months, and it was winter, and I was picking up kids in the next town for our Wednesday night, and I hit a deer. First time in my life I ever hit a deer. And I thought, oh no, God's van, and I hit a deer, and I mean, it just came out of nowhere, and there it was, and nobody was hurt. And I got out when I got to the boy's house and to drop him off from having been at church, and looked it over, and it wasn't bad enough that I couldn't drive it home. It was just messed up enough on the front end and that it was going to have to be fixed. And so I took it to the insurance people, and they totaled it. And my insurance that they would give me was only going to be about $2,000. About $2,000. And this was a nice van. To me, it was worth more than $2,000. I paid $3,600 for it. Where am I going to find another one for $3,600? It was just nice and only had, 100,000 miles on it. It's one of those vans that lasts for 200,000 or 300,000 miles. So it was immaculate. The roof was even good, But anyway, I took the $2,000 and I started checking around on the internet. Even checked down at Iron Wheels in Paris, Illinois. This time they weren't able to help me out. But I found a place in Sioux Falls, Idaho. They had one for $1,800. So that was the red one that I was driving. So it was paid for by the insurance money. I didn't have to raise up any. I had some money left over, in fact, so the girls could go to Camp Joy, to the college and career retreat. So God took care of that. And then we got this blue one. I was having some problems that kept reoccurring on the front end of the red van. It was a great van. Only had 136,000 miles on it, but God knew we needed another van. Some people that once in a while came to church at Eastview, they said, God wants us to give you this van. And so we got this one. It only had 51,000 miles on it. It's a 2006. But God keeps saying, with Him, nothing is impossible. If you do what He says, if you command, follow His commands, obey His commands, and just keep trusting Him, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Well, this is the biggest venture I feel I have ever taken in my life, starting a church. I was always applauding anybody else that did it. All these years I've been in the ministry, that's the one thing besides going to Africa, and even now I'm willing to go to Africa, but I always thought, I don't think I want to start a church. I've pastored, be the second pastor in a church, but not the first. So starting a church, that's somebody else's ability. It's still not my ability, but it's what God wants me to do. Nobody has said to me in Connersville, why do you want to start another church? I have said that to some who somebody wants to start a church in Walla Walla. I've said that, but nobody has said that to me in this town. This is a little news item from 2016. The community of Connersville has already lost industry, jobs, and income. Now the city is losing lives at an alarming rate to heroin. The numbers are staggering. Compared, I know big cities, Chicago and Indianapolis, they have a problem. There are big numbers there, but our little town of 13,000 has the problem of a much larger city. The numbers are staggering to our little town.
20 overdoses in 20 days. Five of them died. In a town of 13,000, most of them feel like, hey, I knew him. I knew her. They played with my kids. They went to school with my kids. I knew they were headed just in a laundromat doing, and this grandmother comes over to my wife and I, and she starts pouring out her heart because her granddaughter is on heroin. And we talked to a lady this morning in church where we went this morning, and her granddaughter, for prayer request, was her granddaughter, is on heroin. Been in jail. Ori went through all that, got on rehab, got out, and her boyfriend got out of jail, and she's back into it again on heroin. The lady at the laundromat, her granddaughter died, overdose. But when 20 overdoses in 20 days and five of them died, the news went on. It is a daunting list of dates, genders, and ages, handwritten on a sheet of notebook paper at the police department. They're all recent victims of drugs. I don't know. I'm at a loss. I really am, said Connersville Police Chief David J. Counselor. It's going to have to be a wake-up call. I mean, this is a wake-up call. I don't know them all. I hardly know any of them, but these people know them. And they're shook up. When I say I'm starting a church on the west side, and nobody says, what are you starting another church for? Because they know the need is great on the west side. I saw that man in a nursing home. He heard we were starting a church on the west side. I was having my devotions a week ago Saturday. And he came by, and we just said hello at the nursing home. He was there with one of his relatives who was a patient there. He said, how are you making it? I said, by faith. He said, well, maybe this will help too. And he gave me an envelope with five $100 bills. He says, just you, me, and God. Nobody asked me why you're starting another church. He saw where I was at. He knew this is the neighborhood that needs it. He wanted to help. The funeral home, a couple of funeral home directors donated. Same reason. And I believe Dylan's going to get saved real soon. But God provides and God responds to faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's bigger than me, but it's not bigger than my God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for my youth pastor who believed in you heart and soul and took apathetic teenagers like me and some of my friends, woke us up. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. I thank you, Lord, that you have a plan for our lives and you provide for all our needs. I thank you, God, for this church who responded to our faith venture. Lord, I'll never forget when Brother Tunis and Seth came and delivered the church check and to our bank. And as we walked out, I said, I can hardly believe this is happening. It seemed like just another normal day. The sun was shining. It was a beautiful day. I was with friends, but Lord, I had not experienced $25,000 as a gift like that for something I was a part of. Lord Jesus, I'll never forget that. And what a blessing this church has been time and again. Lord Jesus, I thank you. You answered my prayer when I wasn't sure. I saw all the potential in this building. And you know how wrought up I was. I wanted to get the best deal possible. I knew, Lord, the man next door, a businessman, had wanted to buy it and tear it down, but he didn't have enough. It would take $26,000 to tear it down. He already checked it out. Lord, I remember they tried to sell it to a tenant once for $2,000 on contract, and he didn't come through. Lord, I remember as we looked through the building and saw how recent renters had tore out all the facilities in the first floor, and I saw the damage. I saw all the work that needed to be done. And I wanted the best deal possible. But Lord, you remember I said, Lord, when this is over, I want to be able to invite this man to church and he not be bitter because I didn't offer him enough. Lord, I remember praying, and to me it was a big miracle when right after that flare prayer to you, and he and I were standing outside the building, I told the girls to get in the car. And then, Lord, you prompted him to share his heart. And, Lord, he said, this building has been a thorn in my side. The disgust with which he said it. I felt free to offer him $5,000. And with a smile that came from deep down, he said, I'll take it. Lord, I felt like then and now I can still, we talk, we get along just fine. I can invite him to church, Lord, because I didn't offend him with what I offered, because you impressed on my heart the right amount. And so I thank you, Lord Jesus. You keep working miracles. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you because of the generosity of these folks. We can keep fixing this place up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. We'll soon be having services. Thank you for what you're doing. Bless this church and their generous giving to the missionaries. Bless Heritage. Lord, we thank you for what they're doing. Lord, I thank you for removing this hurdle that they were up against. Thank you, Lord, for honoring the faith of those who have spearheaded this project and believe you are in it. Thank you, God. Now, Lord Jesus, may your will be done in this service tonight as we conclude. In Christ's name, amen.